If you would please grab a copy of Scripture with me, and we'll be opening God's Word this evening to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. We'll look together at verses 7 through 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 7 through 10. And as you're turning there, just as a bit of background, this might have been a while since some of you have read Ecclesiastes. It's an interesting book. It's an autobiography of Solomon's search for understanding from an under-the-sun perspective, that is, from an earthly perspective. Solomon has some recognition of God in Ecclesiastes, but ultimately the worldview that he presents, as expressed in Ecclesiastes, shows us the senselessness in life in many ways. Life is ultimately vain, meaningless, and futile in the end, apart from God. This is the conclusion of the under-the-sun perspective. If all mankind were left to ourselves, as he says in chapter 1, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Just before our passage this evening, in chapter 9, Solomon looks at death. He looks at the vanity of life in light of death. He observes that both good people and bad people alike all die. So what should we do in response to this truth? In our passage, Solomon calls us to enjoy the gifts of life while they last, for we all die. So let's read Solomon's words, remembering this under the sun or earthly perspective as we read God's word. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, beginning in verse 7. Go, eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. Let your garments be always white. Let not oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love, all the days of your vain life that he has given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. May God bless the reading and hearing of his word this evening. Please join me in prayer as we ask for his help. Heavenly Father, we thank you that hidden in you are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge and truth. By your Spirit, we pray that you would open our eyes that we may see the truth of your word, and stir our hearts by your grace that we may wholeheartedly love you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. At New York University's graduation ceremony, Taylor Swift was the honorary guest and guest speaker. Towards the end of her speech, where she was addressing the graduating class of 2022, she said, quote, "I know it can be really overwhelming figuring out who to be and when, who you are now and how to act in order to get where you want to go. I have some good news. It's totally up to you. I also have some terrifying news. It's totally up to you," end quote. Taylor Swift's conclusion is, who you are is up to you. I think she was speaking more in a professional context, in the sense that, you know, you're graduating, you're going into the working world. In many ways, you can decide what you want to do in a professional sense. But I think this spirit of defining who you are in and of yourself goes far beyond the professional world today. at least in popular culture, who you are is up to you in many ways, even beyond what you do for work. And this is a similar worldview that we see in Ecclesiastes. If life is ultimately vain, meaningless, and futile in the end apart from God, it's up to you to decide what your purpose in life is. And what Solomon concludes is that one of the best ways to make the most out of life is to enjoy life and the good gifts of it, if you have them, to the fullest. And in correction of this worldview that we see all throughout Scripture, our purpose today is to see that because God is the ultimate source of all good things, we are to enjoy God's gracious gifts, not while they last, but for His glory. Because God is the ultimate source of all good things, we are to enjoy God's gracious gifts for His glory. So I'd like for us to look at our passage this evening from two perspectives. The first perspective we're going to look at this passage is from the under-the-sun perspective, which Solomon presents in our reading this evening. It's a worldview that has no higher purpose and understanding in life than what people can observe in life and then conclude from their observations. A very human-centered perspective on life where we are our own highest authorities. Then we'll look at the proper correction to this perspective from the above-the-sun perspective, which is a greater and higher and more divine perspective than the under-the-sun perspective. So first lens we're going to look through life is a man-centered lens, the under-the-sun perspective. And beginning in verse 7 of chapter 9, Solomon has a series of imperatives to the reader. Go, eat, drink, and enjoy life. What's the motivation? Two motivations we see in our passage. Number one, God approves of the enjoyment of the gifts that He's given us. He doesn't provide food and drink for you to make you feel guilty that you might have more than your neighbor. No. Solomon is saying that God approves of the enjoyment of God's gifts to us. So that's motivation number one. Motivation number two to enjoy life is that life and the good parts of it are limited by death. In verses 9 and 10, Solomon says, enjoy your days because that is your portion in life. There's nothing to know, love, or do beyond death. So in other words, the second motivation in our passage is to enjoy God's gifts, since in this life, that's all there is. And of course, we're continuing to look from the under-the-sun perspective. Life and the good parts of it is all there is. So what's the motivation? Number one, God approves of you enjoying the gifts that He's given you. And then also, enjoy life. Enjoy your vapor of a life while it lasts. Solomon is making the conclusion based on his observations. He's very scientific here. He's looking throughout Ecclesiastes, making observations, and then making a conclusion. In our passage, it's a conclusion of his observations. Based on what he understands about the senselessness of life, how the wicked often prosper, how the righteous often suffer, how the way of the wise and the way of the fool both lead to the same place, death. And based on his understanding that there's no human activity after life, Solomon concludes that you and I might as well delight in the enjoyable parts of life which God has given to us. This is the under-the-sun perspective. Enjoy God's gifts while they last, because they won't last forever. What are some examples that we see? Verse 7, he mentions bread and wine. Bread and wine are two staple parts of the ancient Israelites' diet. But in addition, in Ecclesiastes as a whole, in particular, bread and wine are symbols of God's blessing to be enjoyed and are pleasures. God has approved the enjoyment of the bounty He provides as symbolized in bread and wine. And in verse 8, Solomon mentions white garments and oil. White garments are often associated with moral purity in Scripture. And the anointing with oil represents the blessing of God's Spirit. But in keeping with the under-the-sun perspective, I think these mentions of garments and oil are much less spiritual than we might initially think. Changing of your garments and applying oil are symbols of joy and festivity and comfort. And practically speaking, in a hot and dry climate, light-colored garments help on hot and sunny days. Applying oil might help prevent dryness in your skin. But in this context, I think Solomon is instructing the reader to find enjoyment not only in what you eat and drink, but also in what you put on for the more festive parts of life. White garments and oil. So far, this is sounding pretty good. Solomon wants me to eat, drink, and be merry. I'm in. Sounds like a good time. But the bad news comes in verse 9, and it takes a dark turn. Verse 9 starts off all well and good, as you might expect. Enjoy life with a wife whom you love. Marry, maybe more broadly speaking, we should eat, drink, and be merry, and enjoy God's gifts of relationships. Particularly if you have a spouse, the most intimate relationship you can have. It's a good thing, but your time is limited. Solomon continues and reiterates the under-the-sun perspective. Ultimately, your enjoyment is limited. Why? In verse 9, he says, enjoy life with a wife whom you love all the days of your vain life that he, God, has given you under the sun because, what's our motivation for enjoyment? Because that is your portion in life and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. You know, on a cold winter day, you might go outside and see your breath. It's a vapor in the wind. Solomon is saying that's what your life is like. If God is blessing you, enjoy those gifts. Because they won't last forever. Food, drink, festivities, relationships. This also includes the fruit of your labor of your hands. Generally speaking, the harder you work, the more fruit you have to enjoy from your labor. So in verse 10, Solomon says you might as well enjoy the fruit of your labor. Work with your might so that you can, you can enjoy it. He says, there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol, the place of the dead, to which you are going. This is the under-the-sun perspective. Rather than the fear of the Lord as the beginning of wisdom, which we see in Proverbs, the under-the-world, under-the-sun worldview is being wise in your own eyes. Such worldly wisdom looks at death, the reality of death, and says, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Seize and enjoy the day, carpe diem, not for the glory of God, but for the sheer enjoyment of life, for there is no higher good than the enjoyment of the good things of life. This view of life isn't completely wrong. A good part of this perspective is that, at least on some level, Solomon is recognizing that these gifts are from God. This is a good thing for us to do. Recognize God as the source for all the blessings we have in this life. Another good part of this perspective is to enjoy the gifts. Not only recognize the source of the gifts, but to enjoy the gifts, as we sang in Psalm 104. It's an example of scripture that recognizes God as the source the gifts of this life, and the essential goodness of enjoying those gifts. But where this under-the-sun worldview falls short is that this enjoyment of God's gifts is not the end-all, be-all. He sees enjoyment as an end in itself. Where this worldview is fundamentally different from Psalm 104 is that Ecclesiastes sees under the sun worldview that we are not to use enjoyment as a means for glorifying God. The whole point of the psalm, Psalm 104, is to see God's glorious and bountiful gifts and to praise God for them. We do not see that here in Ecclesiastes, in this under-the-sun perspective. It sees experience of enjoyment as an end in itself and falls short. Tanya and I have not experienced this with Charlie yet, but I have seen it in other young children when they receive a birthday present. They take the box and enjoy the box way more than they enjoy the actual present itself. That's what this is like. If left to ourselves as humans, fallen humans, we willingly and wrongly choose to enjoy creation more than the one for whom all creation was made. The right view of enjoyment in life is ultimately for the glory and enjoying of God himself and forever. So if this man-centered, under-the-sun perspective isn't the right worldview to have, what's the right perspective to have on life? The answer from Scripture is the God-centered, above-the-sun perspective, the divine perspective on life is the right perspective to have. Instead of merely a call to enjoy God's gifts while they last, the above-the-sun perspective says we are not only to recognize God as the source of all of our gifts in this life and to enjoy those gifts, but we are to thank and praise him for them. Ultimately, all that God has given us, even life itself, finds its purpose not merely in enjoyment, but the purpose of all creation is for the glory of God. This is the above the sun perspective, a call to enjoy God's gifts for God's glory. This is the second perspective that's a correction to the first, the above the sun perspective. Where do we see this perspective taught? We can look to the wonderful Shorter Catechism, question number one. What's the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him, not for a little while, forever. Romans 11, Paul says, in the doxology of praise to God, he says, from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. God is not only the source, but he is the ultimate purpose of all created things even existing. Even though we are to glorify God and to enjoy him, this doesn't trump our enjoyment. Rather, we need a shift in perspective. We need a shift in priority. 1 Timothy 6, Paul helps us with this priority. Paul is all about glory to God. But when he addresses the rich, who have many blessings in this life, in 1 Timothy 6, he says, "For the rich in this age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. Place their hope on God, who richly provides us with everything to feel guilty about, no, to enjoy." This is the above the sun perspective. Ultimately, all things are created for God's glory, but this does not negate our enjoyment of the blessings that God has given us in this life. God doesn't want us to separate enjoyments of his gifts and glorifying him. What God desires is that these two things be put in the right priority. God's glory is ultimate, and the enjoyment of God's gifts is one of the many ways by which we can glorify him in our lives. God desires that he be glorified through our enjoyment of his gifts, such as food and drink and possessions that we read about in Ecclesiastes, relationships, and the fruit of our labor. But most of all, even if we didn't have anything else, we can glorify God through enjoying the greatest gift of all, knowing him as Father through Christ. If you do not know Christ today, he calls you to turn from your sin of seeking to find your ultimate enjoyment, your ultimate purpose, your ultimate fulfillment in this life apart from Him. John 3 tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son to the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world may be saved through Him. What we are saved to and what we are saved for is enjoying God's gifts for His glory. Not merely for a lifetime, but for all eternity. Death is not the end. Most of us enjoy God's gifts. We are not saved for sheer enjoyment as the end all be all. We are saved for enjoying God's gifts, enjoying the gift of amended and restored relationship with God through faith and by the power of His life-giving Spirit. This is why when we have a right priority of valuing God Himself as the greatest gift of all, even when we lose our earthly gifts, all joy and hope is not lost. If our bread is molded, if our wine is soured, if the festivities are over, if our spouse is unfaithful, if we lose the ones whom we love in death, all hope and enjoyment is not lost. Why? God's gift to us, His gifts to us, as precious and good as they are not the end-all, be-all. With God as our all-in-all, in Him we find our ultimate joy and purpose in life. Even if we have all of these other good gifts taken away because of God's grace to us in Christ, we can say with Job, who lost everything the Lord gave, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. If you are a believer, your ultimate and most fundamental sense of joy is not found in God's created gifts. Our ultimate joy is found in God's gift of Himself to us. This is what makes the Ascension so important as we celebrate this Ascension Sunday and God giving Himself to us. We get to enjoy all the gifts and benefits of knowing Him. As New Testament Christians, we have the gift of enjoying the benefits of our ascended Savior. From Christ's holy habitation on high, He continues to give gracious gifts to His church for our enjoyment. He gave the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and comfort us. I enjoyed being here on Wednesday evening at the prayer meeting. Helped me prepare for the sermon, hearing from your perspective all the benefits we have in knowing Christ. And one of them that was said was that Christ, even now, is preparing a place for us to dwell with Him. This is a gracious gift that God has given us. Ephesians 4 focuses on the ascended Christ, who is the fulfillment of the promised King in the Psalms and has conquered sin, Satan, and death, and who gives gifts to His church, even today, through pastors and teachers, so that we all might be equipped for the saints' work and ministry. We have the privilege of giving thanks to God for all the gifts that He has given us, including our leadership in our churches. Our ascended Savior gives the gift of priestly mediation for His people. That came up on Wednesday night as well. And from this morning, we saw a part of God's work for us is His forgiveness of us. Forgiveness of our sins and reconciling us to God. He gives us hope of glory that He is now experiencing. We can look to Him, ascended, glorified, as a source of hope for us and for our loved ones. And from His place on high, where He will come to judge the wicked, one reason why we as Christians look at what happens in the world to many seem senseless and oftentimes seem senseless to us, such as shootings that we have seen this past week. We can find comfort that Christ, our ascended Christ, not only reigns sovereignly over all creation, and he's working all things out for his glory, but there's also a sense of unsatisfied justice for the innocent who have suffered that will be satisfied in God's judgment of the wicked. This ascension of Christ is so important because Christ is working from on high powerfully and graciously, giving the gift of salvation to more and more people by his Spirit, so that more and more people can have the eternal joy and gifts of communion with God. And it's in this way that the ascension of Christ undermines the under the sun perspective in Ecclesiastes. How does it do so? The ascension shows us that death is not the end. In Ecclesiastes, the whole motivation for enjoyment in life is because of certainty and finality of death. You only live life once, so you might as well enjoy it. But the ascension of Christ provides us with an unshakable hope that there truly is life after death. So the experience of enjoyment that comes from God's creation is not truly ultimate. The ascension of Christ gives us above the sun perspective that we can enjoy God's gifts now with the anticipation of the enjoyment of the ultimate gift. Knowing, loving, and serving God free from sin from all eternity in the new heavens and new earth. Praise be to God for all of his gracious gifts to us, and may we praise him all the more for them. This is why we sing it all the time in the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. All the good gifts of this life. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Please join me in prayer. O God and King of glory, you have lifted up your only Son, Jesus Christ, in great victory to reign over all things. Please help us by your Holy Spirit. Strengthen us that we might enjoy all the blessings of this life and the life to come, which has been secured by our ascended Savior. Most of all, help us to give you glory for all your good gifts to us, particularly the gift of knowing you. Through Jesus, who has ascended on high and who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God in glory everlasting. Amen.